KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Today in the studio, we're lucky to be talking with Jamie McLeod Skinner, who's running as a Democrat for Oregon's Secretary of State on the November 2020 ballot. McLeod Skinner ran for Congress for Oregon's 2nd Congressional District in 2018 and set new records for Democratic turnout. This included winning two counties that tend to lean conservative, Deschutes and Hood River. She currently holds both an elected and an appointed office in Oregon. She's an elected board member of the Jefferson County Education Service District and was also appointed by Governor Kate Brown as a board member at large for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, which provides grants to restore and protect watersheds and habitats. Prior to this, she served as a city councilor in Santa Clara, California for 8 years. She has a degree in engineering from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, a master's in regional planning from Cornell, and a law degree with an emphasis in Indian law, environmental law, and water rights from the University of Oregon. She also worked for the International Rescue Committee in post-war Bosnia and Kosovo, rebuilding schools, hospitals, and sanitation systems. And, fun fact, she graduated from Ashland High School, where the record she set in the 800 meters still stands.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much for being here today. So I guess our first question is just, what inspired you to run for Secretary of State?
All my life, I've been committed to good governance. That started back when I was a kid. I actually lived in East Africa as a young child. My mom took a teaching job there, and some of my classmates were refugees from Uganda who had fled Idi Amin. And that early experience, my work in Bosnia and Kosovo, and a belief that we have the best imperfect form of government there is, but it really requires us to step up and get involved and hold it accountable. So I've been committed to good governance. The race for Congress was really to bring accountability to Washington, D.C., and we saw the House flip. And there's some issues here in Oregon that I think we really need to address. And there's some tremendous opportunities through this role as well. But it's important to me to bring folks together to solve the problems we can all agree need to be fixed and that we can take care of that.
I wanted to ask, a lot of people are familiar with what the Secretary of State does on a national level. It's the nation's diplomat and so forth. On a state level, can you describe for us what the Secretary of State position is and why it's important?
Absolutely. And I believe that the Secretary of State is the most important statewide role in Oregon right now with redistricting coming up. But there's so many aspects to the role that people don't really get. You know, a lot of folks realize that there's the oversight to our elections and the election security integrity piece are critical. A lot of folks realize that the Secretary of State oversees our audit process, and we're actually the only Secretary of State in the nation that also oversees audits of state agencies. There's a seat on the state land board, so it's overseeing how we manage our state lands and waterways. And so having an environmental background is really critically important. But also registering businesses, registering corporations and businesses, the role in overseeing our the state archives, and there's opportunities there in terms of telling the state story that could be really unique. There's a role on this on the statewide school board that is important, and the background in education is really important there. A lot of folks realize that it's the essentially the lieutenant governor, though we don't call it that. Only 10 states in the country have the Secretary of State serve as lieutenant governor. And this super important role following the 2020 census. And don't forget to please respond to the census. We need to count everyone. That's really important. Little plug. But after the census, every 10 years, every state in the nation redraws its political boundaries. So if you've heard of gerrymandering, mm-hmm. that's when they're drawn very unfairly. So the process here in Oregon is it goes through a state legislature, the governor signs it. If that system breaks down, so if there's a walkout like we saw last session, mm-hmm. then it falls on the Secretary of State's shoulders to draw those political boundaries for the next 10 years. That can shape the politics and the power in our state for the next 10 years. It's incredibly important.
So given that the Secretary of State has so many duties and responsibilities, can you tell us what your priorities would be in that position?
Yeah, absolutely. So making sure our voices are heard, election security and integrity is critically important. Here in Oregon, we have paper ballots. That's a step ahead of a lot of states, but we also there's still security measures we need to put in place and election integrity, bringing more people into the process. That's one. The second is building up accountability of government and building public trust. That's through the audit process. And then the state lands piece, my environmental background. So working not only now as an attorney, environmental attorney and consultant, but my background in water systems, making sure that we have long-term sustainable vision for our state lands and waterways. I mean, that's, when we're talking about climate change, that's a way we can address it through this office.
So what of those, what do you think would be the biggest problem facing Oregonians? And I know that covers a vast swath of different people from urban to more rural. Is there anything that you would say unites all Oregonians that we're all facing together?
Well, absolutely. All those key points. You know, we all, regardless of your party affiliation, wanting to have our voices to be heard and free and fair elections, that's something we can agree on. Wanting government to be accountable and making sure our taxpayer dollars are well spent, that's something that, that across the board we can agree on. And when we're looking at audits, I don't look at just, or I, you know, what I'm promoting is not just looking at financial audits. So the, you know, making sure that the dots are, I's are dotted and T's are crossed. I'm also talking about performance audits. So is the money spent as intended? That's been an issue in the state. And equity audits. So we can make sure that we're addressing equity issues through our audit process. Also information security to protect kids and the elderly. But that equity audit process is something that we can really do to sink our teeth into where we're seeing a lot of issues that we really need to address here in Oregon right now.
Let's talk a little bit about your congressional campaign. You know, Oregon is like a lot of states. Your urban areas tend to be more liberal. Your rural areas tend to be more conservative. But you were able to basically bridge that divide. And I want to hear your thoughts about what you thought inspired people from Deschutes and Hood River to vote for a Democrat.
Well, I think what's really important is to realize that we have progressive and real liberal folks in rural areas as well. Mm. And just like you have conservative folks in urban areas, but it's really seeing, finding those issues of common interest. And then also sometimes it's just the language we use or kind of these political silos we've gotten into. You know, I had wheat growers in Wasco County. So most folks would hear that and think, conservative Republican talking to me about climate change, because who is the most impacted by our changing climate? It's folks in the ag community, folks, ranchers, and folks in the forestry industry. So folks who are super concerned about the direction things are going, but we get caught up politically in the shouting match, and then we fail to move forward on legislation. So I found people really hungry for working together to find solutions. We have the opportunity to do that statewide, and that's what people really responded to. I mean, I'm a proud lifelong Democrat, but I can't tell you how many Republicans came up to me and said, I've never voted for a Democrat before, but you're talking about what makes sense, what we need right now. And that's where we need to get back to in politics, I think.
So what do you think is differentiating you from all the other candidates that we'll see on the ballot in November?
Sure. Well, we've got the primary first coming up in May, and that's going to be the first challenge. I think the first piece is just I mentioned the Secretary of State's role and how complex it is and the how diverse it is. Well, I actually am the lone candidate who has experience in all the different areas. So I worked for many years with refugee and immigrant communities on things like naturalization, on voter outreach. And so working with diverse communities, bringing people into the process, I've done that work before. I've been in elected office now going on 9 years. So having that experience. But when it comes to government, looking at audits, to understand how government functions, you need to understand there are many different perspectives. There's the frontline staff perspective, there's the management perspective, and there's the policymaker, the lawmaker perspective. I'm the only one who's been in all of those different roles and has that different experience. I'm the only one who's been a union member. I was a union member for over 10 years. And, you know, I have international experience. I've managed multimillion dollar projects. I've managed teams. I've done all those pieces. The environmental background, not only my law background, but also my engineering background on designing systems. I worked as an environmental planner for 5 years. It's a 2 million population, urban and rural. So all of that experience really ties in. But there's also some really creative things we can do. I didn't go into this part of it, but things like on the state archives, it's telling the state story. And there's an opportunity to tell our state story from all the different perspectives of people who've had the different backgrounds that bring their experience to the table and make us who we are as Oregonians. So there's all sorts of creative things we can be doing, as well as hosting town halls around the state and bringing people together to have these tough conversations. So I have that experience. I have a real passion for it. And then also, I would be the only one who has experience throughout the state. So all our other statewide elected officials are from the Portland area, and in the primary, all my colleagues running are all from the Portland metro area. I have urban experience. I worked in Silicon Valley for over 10 years, but also have that rural experience and rural understanding. And I think that understanding is really important to bring to the table. And then one last thing, it's just, again, the outreach. My website, jamiefororegon.com, it's in English and Spanish. We've got translation on there. We're committed to really reaching out and bringing people into the process.
Sound like a Renaissance woman. Really? So Secretary of State position would be a good one for you. Being a member of the LGBTQ community, how has that impacted your campaign?
Well, let me say this. I came out when I was a young adult back in the 80s, and I've had some really painful experiences with homophobia in my life. And keep in mind that back then, things were very different politically. I mean, as a Democrat today, you almost couldn't get elected if you're not supported of the LGBTQ community.
Right.
Back then, it was just the opposite. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen things come a long way. But I have used those experiences to really inform my thinking about how we create a good and safe government. So, for example, I don't know what it's like to be a woman wearing a hijab going into an Islamophobic setting. But I do know what it's like to have someone look at you, someone who knows nothing about you as a person, look at you with absolute hatred in their eyes. And so I take from that experience, you know, my responsibility then as an elected official and as a community leader is to help shape and create an environment where folks don't have that pit in the stomach experience. And so working with other communities, that they're folks that I won't know their own personal experience, but I know the experience of not being respected and being looked down on and not being heard. And we've got folks across our state right now who are not feeling heard. You mentioned the typical assumptions about urban-rural divide. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of Democrats throughout rural areas who are not feeling heard, even by the Democratic majority that's more urban-based. Mm-hmm. So it really cuts across that political spectrum. Being rural is almost more of an identity. It's both a more kind of independent-minded, but also interdependent-minded, because we know we're reliant on our neighbors. So it's more of an identity that's bringing to the table. But it's just one of the many identities that I've experienced, and that knowing that sense of otherness, I think, helps me to relate to others who are in that position themselves. But I used to like to say when I was in the congressional race, because a lot of people in urban areas would ask me about, oh, how is it, you know, being gay and being out lesbian in Eastern Oregon?
Right.
And I actually would have incredible experiences of conservatives coming up to me and thanking me for being out because they have family members who are gay. But my favorite response to it was to say, look, I'm not afraid of telling people in Eastern Oregon I'm gay. What makes me nervous is telling people in Ashland that I listen to country music.
I was a country music DJ for about
20 years. Oh,
there
you go. There you go.
So yeah, no, yeah. I know that bias.
You know that, exactly.
I feel your pain.
You see what I'm saying? We are very, we're complex. Even, you know, as an urban woman, you know that experience.
Right, exactly. So what I wanted to touch on now is a little bit with your community dispute mediator experience. Sort of you've touched on it a little bit when you've been talking, and definitely that's experience that you have. How is that going to help you, in the position of Secretary of State?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And it's funny, someone was asking me about that earlier today. I think it's more of a mentality and experience of having a long-term vision of where you want to go. And, you know, we're human beings. Conflict is inherent. But trying to figure out how to help us all work together through our own stuff to hear each other and move together towards that long-term goal. You know, it's not just the formal training and the volunteer community mediation I did for years when I was in the Bay Area. But it was even when I was, I was working in Kosovo and working in mixed villages. And this was post-war, and there was tremendous conflict. We had, I'd go into a school where the two school directors, there would be the Serb director and the Albanian Kosovar director, who had not spoken to each other in years. There would be a brick wall up the middle of the school. And the Serbian government then was in charge, but the majority of the population was Albanian. And so my job was essentially to do a project in that community, in that village, and in that building, was to run shuttle diplomacy between the Serb director and the Kosovar director, and to talk about their needs and concerns and interests, and then share those needs back and forth, have them agree in consensus on what we needed to do and where we need to go forward with that project, then find community volunteers, so building up that trust in the community, and getting people to work on those shared projects. And I can't think of an exception to this, but by the end, we'd start with these separate meetings, and by the end, we would be holding joint meetings. And it sounds like a small thing, but it was actually huge. And I was thinking about that the other day, because that's almost what we're doing politically between Republicans and Democrats. It's that mm-hmm. same mentality of getting us to focus on, you know, regardless of party affiliation, we care about our families, we care about our communities. We want to put a roof over our head and food on our table. We want opportunities for our kids. We want health care for our families. I mean, this is all true. So how do we work together on these things? And that's really, I've had some formal training in it, but it's also just the kind of work I've done all my life.
Well, it sounds like you are an expert at being involved in combative situations. So bridging that red and blue is going to be is going to be definitely something that you'll have to do in this state or anywhere that you would be. Thank you so much for being with us today. We have been speaking with
Jamie McLeod Skinner, who is running for Oregon Secretary of State. The primary is May 19th.
But your ballots will go out in late April. My website is jamiefororegon.com if you want info. And let me just say this really fun fact that my first time on a radio was back. I was a student DJ of Homo Radio, which is only the fourth LGBTQ radio show for RPI when I went there. So it takes me back.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's been a pleasure having you. You're obviously very good at it. So.
Oh, thank you.
You're
Thanks
both well.
So much for all you're doing for our community. It's really wonderful. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.